This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
What up, what up, what up? The world. UK. London.
Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo!
I got it just in time.
That's right, just in the nip. Wow,
time.
I think you're breaking Doc's record.
What do you mean?
Because he's normally here around 60 to 90 seconds before live on air.
But let's be honest, so I was the first one
you
in
were
the building.
You were here 60 seconds before me.
I still managed to be late for the actual show.
For the actual live broadcast. You're tuned into FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah, Hugh. And this week, Doc is away again. So we have the charming gentleman, Michael Payne, standing in for Doc. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm good. It's nice to get the applause one.
You get the applause.
Rather than just hatred.
I usually start the applause. Because I now have two shows, because I'm the darling of FUBAR.
I've noticed. We're spreading the diversity of FUBAR Radio also.
Literally spreading.
But we should say this, Sarah, because we did just get a clap when you came in, Mr. Payne. But you were getting some straight up anger about 2 minutes ago as well.
I was.
Oh, really?
Of a pop
tart. Not for me. Not anger, just dumbfoundedness.
So Sarah is in hate with my all-American snacks.
It's not hate. It's just, you know what, Michael? I look at you as like an intelligent, informed, interesting, diverse, cultured, young, vibrant member of society. And I just can't understand anyone, even at the other end of the spectrum, finding like Pop-Tarts delicious or exciting or enticing in any kind of way.
Well, the thing is, it's one thing to be informed, but it's another to use that information to your advantage. I just choose not to. I just choose to put the blinkers on. Yeah, standard. Like, the thing is,
okay, this is all relating to Michael coming in and being like, yes, my friend sent me some Pop-Tarts from the States.
Yeah.
They look good.
Spelt with flavour with no U.
They're literally all American. Yeah, yeah, officially all American. They don't have a letter U in the word flavour. New flavour.
Flavour.
Do you know, I'm kind of in between because I'm with you, Sarah, too. Like, I like to eat a lot of fresh and healthy food. And then, yeah, I don't mind smashing a Pop-Tart here and there either. But I did need to tell you because I went to a restaurant last night called Redemption in Notting Hill Gate. Sarah, you are going to lose your shit.
It's vegan, and it's non-alcoholic bar.
It's one of the first ones in London, Notting Hill Gate. And it's got some incredible food. It's all vegan. It's all everything. And like I said, I've got a massive list of cocktails that are all like really. The whole menu's being built by nutritional therapists, and the food there. I'm not even kidding. I was there with my brother and my friend Rose, and we were literally like, if you had just put a recorder in the middle of that thing, it would have sounded like a really, really weird porno. A really weird porno.
That's the power of good food, man.
So amazing. But it was actually like even more delicious than even just, you know, your stuff that you would eat that's processed and sugary. Like far more delicious. You need to go there, darling.
There is no processed food which is delicious.
Or
in the long term.
You're looking at a box of Pop-Tarts right there. They're fucking delicious.
I want to eat as minimal things that have an ingredients list written on them as possible.
Redemption.
I don't want to eat anything that's been to a factory.
These are now my mascots. Yeah. That's why they're still out of the bag. I haven't even put them back in the bag from whence they came.
I think for this first 3 minutes of the show, we're truly standing up to our pseudonym. Is that the right word? I can't remember. We digress. That's the alternative name of the show. Because you are actually tuned into FUBAR Radio every Tuesday, 4 to 6. It's normally myself, Sarah Hugh, and Doc 2. But this week, Doc is away. And we have the one and only FUBAR's darling boy, Michael, standing in for us. And we have loads coming up on the show this week. As always, we have important, like, issues that have popped up this week that we need to get into the meat and bones about. So we're going to be touching on
some in some cases this week.
Remember to hit us up on the show Twitter at FUBAR Radio, or you can email shd@fubarradio.com. And every week, you guys should know by now that we have something very important called Are You Taking the Piss? And that is the chance where we ask you guys to vent about what this week has vexed you up or just literally left you dumbfounded. Like, are you taking the piss? Pop-Tart, seriously, man.
Can I interject?
No.
You may digress, but you may not interject.
Well, it really isn't a digression. It really isn't a digression.
Only because
for 1 week only, can we rename Are You Taking the Piss? Are You Taking the Pigs? Can we, please?
That makes it even worse. Poor piggies.
It really
I'm already
does.
Feeling it sorry for the piggies.
It shows that the piss taking has stooped to new lows.
It's too, okay, it's too soon for that. But we'll get to that bridge when we cross it. But yeah. I think it's a good idea. I'm definitely feeling the concept. But before, you know, there's so many just crazy people in the world, kind of people who want to eat Pop-Tarts, kind of people who want to mess with dead animals, kind of people who want to like piss in the street. Crazy people out there, who we need to like out these people kind of thing. But at the same time, I think there's so many like wonderful, wonderful, amazing people who are just in the world spreading joy around the universe. And for me, this is an important part of the show where we have to send out some serious.
Big up, big up.
And that is because I just feel there's so many cool people doing good things. And this week is an important week for me because me and my family, every September on the 21st, we have to celebrate a very important day. It's one of my favourite holidays of the year, actually, possibly after Pancake Day.
I was going to say Pancake Day, sure.
Is it your birthday?
No, that's last month.
Princess,
you should know,
is it your birthday, Princess?
Princess, God, I don't get called that. But it's not my birthday, although September is my favourite month of the year, and that's why one of my favourite groups of the year, they have their international official day of celebration going out to Earth, Wind & Fire, which of course is the 21st of September. Earth, Wind & Fire, are you familiar with Earth, Wind & Fire?
I am.
That is September.
So not the elements.
No, man. That's
we were getting
the session
scientific.
After the show, man. When we brand the Nag Champa. No. Earth, Wind & Fire, incredible group who I think their costumes, their high technology music videos, like their positivity, the music just with soul, musicianship, incredible musicians in that band, amazing songwriting. And I mean, I challenge anyone not to like feel some flutter of joy in their heart when they hear Earth, Wind & Fire's music. They've sold over 100 million records worldwide, which I think is absolutely wonderful. So me and my family name the 21st of September as the official Earth, Wind & Fire International Day. So I'd like to see every FUBAR listener getting involved in this each year. Let's keep it going. So yeah, this week's shout out has to go out to one of the most underrated, in my opinion, and best pop groups of all time. Earth, Wind & Fire, not that track, but this track. So it was only correct that we set off like this. Straight after this tune, we're going to be getting into some No They Didn't.
Yes.
Oh, No They Didn't.
And I also, just quickly, I really love as well that Justin is put in the same bracket for eating Pop-Tarts as people doing sex to pigs. And pissing on the street.
It's that deep, isn't it?
It is that deep. But remember, it's September. Definitely. I wouldn't recommend taking mushrooms before watching any Earth, Wind & Fire videos, actually. Or actually do that!
You should have told me that
You'll
earlier.
Get about as high as you get eating Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
But in the organic way.
Or just smoking a doobie.
See, that's a good combination. A doobie and Earth, Wind & Fire. Let's boogie.
Only Pop-Tarts
video.
Left.
That was great hearing that. That was good. Very good choice.
That's uplifting music, right?
Very good choice.
And but it's all good because now we have like Rihanna and Miley Cyrus, so they'll keep that torch going for good quality pop music.
Oh, right, I thought we were going to play them.
Not on my watch, mate. But yes, this is Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, standing in for Doc this week, and you're tuned into FUBAR Radio. And right now is the part of the show where, are you happy to step in for Doc on this one? Because normally when we play this theme tune, he does a special dance just for me.
Okay,
it's a special sexy dance.
It's kind of like stripping, but all keep all your clothes on.
So just feel the vibe of the music.
God,
and woo, Michael. My gosh. Doc, you're fired. Michael is hired. Wow,
is
these
proper radio DJ
sexy
thing?
Dance moves. I'm loving it. Oh, wow, lady. We need to get like a studio cam just so people can see
CCTV.
These guys dancing off with their sexy dance.
I feel good.
Even Hugh was feeling that.
Yeah, I think I'm pregnant now. Whoa.
So watch out, listeners.
Yeah.
But yes, that of course is our theme tune for No They Didn't, which really there was only one possible No They Didn't this week, wasn't there?
Well, there would. Mm. I mean, each week in No They Didn't, we cover something that someone has done that literally has made you say, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. It's all walks of life this week. How could we not look at David Cameron? you know, it's a pretty amazing story, and whether or not that this is a vengeance, because obviously, you know, one of the a massive donor to the Tories, and also has been a part of the political landscape there with David Cameron for a long time. Lord Ashcroft wrote his biography, and basically made some pretty wild claims, because he's very, 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 very angry with David Cameron.
He's a little bit vexed.
Because when they got, when he came into power, they basically, you know, had promised Lord Ashcroft some things, allegedly. And they didn't really come to fruition. So he got really angry. You know, he got offered like a junior role within the party, and he's like, what? I've been, you know, putting in work for 10 years. I've invested over £8 million into the party. And he was vexed. He was angry. So he's made some allegations because he's got a long-standing history in politics as well.
I'd be pretty vexed. Obviously, £8 million.
Mm. £8 million to be offered a junior
role. I'd
be like,
right, that's it. I'm putting out the big guns now.
Oh, mate, it's wild. So obviously the story that most people are across already, huge international news this year,
This year, mate. This year.
It will be this year and next year. Was obviously David Cameron allegedly, got to say allegedly, there's no proof of it as yet.
Yeah.
But when he was at Oxford University, he was trying to get initiated into a very, very, you know, exclusive dining party within, mm-hmm. like a frat or whatever,
mm-hmm.
within that. And as initiation into the group, he allegedly made a dead
a capital
pig,
a.
made a dead pig suck him off. All right. Allegedly put his penis into a dead pig's mouth. Pretty wild.
Pretty wild.
But not wild, completely normal if you are one of those, eaten boys.
Well, yeah.
Like, this is just standard like practice that's probably been going on for hundreds of years.
Man.
Like, to them, they ain't even flutting their eyelid at this.
No. Well, I mean, obviously, David Cameron and everybody involved from his side of things would just say, no comment. They didn't even want to go near it and try to justify it. But I'd say it's quite likely, exactly as you said, Sarah, so many random things happen like this at uni or at school, all this crazy shit, right? I'd say it's quite likely that that's very possible that... most likely that happened.
If I was to their bet, I wouldn't bet against it.
Everybody wants it to get the hugely trending hashtag Piggate. Amazing. Everybody wants this to be true. It is true. I reckon it's true.
You can verify.
You don't make that type of shit up.
No.
Well, you do, but you don't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do, but you don't.
A dead pig. Well, what do you guys think? What do you guys think when you hear something like that?
I think it's so fucked up.
It's so.
Do you get it?
It is.
But I think also it's kind of like this just this just shows how detached someone like David Cameron is from the rest of society. Because that's how him and his people grew up hanging out.
Yeah, he should
like,
just
that
admit
ain't
it.
What's happening in the ends, you know what I mean? So it's like, they have no clue of how to relate to us.
Mate, we can't afford to fuck a pig. We got to eat the damn thing first.
That's the thing, boy.
I've got to send props also.
Pig head from the butchers, you know, to put my dick in there. Really, are you mad?
Extra protein.
All that.
An extra protein blast. But Abby Tomlinson, she's a writer for The Independent, she said, the most shocking thing about Piggate is that it wouldn't be the worst thing David Cameron has done.
Good point.
Bah, bah, bah. The man is a psychopath, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I don't quite know who to feel
I'm sure
more
he's
sorry
made
for.
Rasher decisions.
Mm. Yeah, who to feel more sorry for, the pig or the people of Britain?
Sorry, I'll clap myself for that one. I said I'm sure he's made rasher decisions.
It took me a while to catch up on that one.
Just like catch up on that one.
Do you like my work mug as well?
You get one as well. Was that intentional?
No, I'm just naturally comedic.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Not. But no, I was like, that's so true because, dude, I mean, this is also, it's a perfect week for like bad news for the Tory party, isn't it? Because this so happens to come out on the same day as he signed like this nuclear deal with China, where we're basically, it's just some ridiculousness where we're going to let China and France do build nuclear power plants in the UK and they're going to run it and reap all the profits and everything. And, you know, this is the man where we're going to take our moral barometer from.
Let's be honest, though. David Cameron's done so many dickish things that any time's the perfect time for it to come out.
Yeah. And it came out
just after his bike got stolen. Yeah. That would have been amazing.
And the thing is like, we can't forget here that someone has fucked a dead pig.
Yeah.
Let's not make this too intelligent by going into actual politics.
I went to the London Oratory, which was like basically in layman's terms a really posh school, and it's still rubbing off on me, clearly. I was in the same year as a certain Prime Minister's son, and Put it this way.
Which Prime Minister?
I'm not going to say. But put it this way, they play some fucked up games, like the higher up you go, do you know what I mean, when they're kids. Yeah. Like, it's actually mad. Like,
but it's blatantly for these reasons, so then they can have, like, this dirt on each other later in life. And they're we're going to have to rub each other's shoulders. No, like, you better hook up.
They're bored as fuck, man. Mm. They can afford to do anything they want. Like, do you know what I mean? Kind of, like, they've got a lot of opportunities in it. So it kind of means that to have fun, it's got to be a bit more wild than the average person.
Yeah.
You feel me?
And this is also what leads into how less interesting London is becoming, as like normal people getting driven out of London and it's just becoming a place for the rich, because what, we're going to be left with that culture and then dry ass people. So what kind of you have heard of pigs related stories
I've
in
heard
your
of soggy biscuit
circles?
I thought that was a jail one, wasn't it? Or was that more boys?
I've never seen it played. I've only ever heard about it. It's all urban legend to me. I've never actually seen a game being played.
No, just a disclaimer there.
That's that's a massive disclaimer.
Yeah.
Not even one about the Prime Minister. That shit's actually true. I've never seen soggy.
The least said on that, the better, I think.
I tell you what, though, as far as things you've done when you're young and regret, like, that is one story. He must have been sweating on that for ages. He must have been, especially with him and the whole Lord Ashcroft thing.
Yeah, he must think about that sometimes.
If you knew that somebody knew that about you, you would just bend over backwards for that.
It's true.
It's true.
He's actually brave.
Or don't pause that.
He's actually a very, like, brave dude, isn't it? Like, actually, like, mugging.
Ashcroft or?
No, David Cameron. Do you know what I mean? Mugging off someone who has that dirt on you. Like, you're like, I'm a bad man. Are you dumb? I'm like the Prime Minister. What can you do to me?
I'm already.
He must have forgotten. He's either a bad man or he's just really forgetful.
Yeah, and he's like, shit, I'm a coffee! Damn, I told him I'd drop him my eighth last week.
Shit.
But no, that cassette boy dude, I was quite impressed with his little bit that he put together. Did you hear this?
It's amazing. It's really good.
I want to talk about me and pork. I get a kick out of getting my dick out. So let no one doubt it's going in a pig's mouth. As I said, I'm going to get me some head from a pig who's dead. This is big. I'm going to stick my dick in a pig. Getting piggy with it.
Getting piggy with it. It's amazing.
Really highlighting the guilty secrets.
What would happen now if you, like, you found this out about your dad, and then, you know, say you're a young child and you're sitting there watching Peppa Pig, and your dad comes and sits on the couch next to you? Fuck that! I'm out of here.
Oh god! No, guilty pleasures. That's the word I was looking for. Guilty pleasures. I mean, so we know that this has kind of revealed some of David Cameron's kind of type.
I don't know if it's a guilty pleasure, though. I think he's just done something wild to, I don't know if that would necessarily be that. I think he's just done something wild.
Someone was obviously enjoying it for that situation to have occurred. It wouldn't have occurred if everyone there was like, fuck this.
But that's what the whole thing they do at the whole frat things is they make you do something really fucked up as an initiation.
Because it's enjoyable to see someone do something really fucked up. And for different people, it's enjoyable in different ways, aren't
they? Well, they want to do it. They obviously want to do something in a way where it's going to make you feel so uncomfortable that you may go, all right, that's it. I can't do it. I can't do that. And they're like, well, you can't join the thing. That's the whole purpose of an initiation.
These are people that run our country, man.
Yeah.
Sorry?
These are the people that run our country.
I know, it's wonderful, isn't it? I am so proud of David Cameron. He's doing great things for young people and poor people right now. But no, I mean, like, with guilty pleasures, though, I would say I do have a guilty pleasure. It's definitely not on the David Cameron scale.
Nah.
I see this, like, bated breath there for a second where you're like, pin drop silence.
Well, we know you're a vegetarian, so what would, and you don't have a penis, so would you put some lettuce over your crutch or something like that? I don't know.
Keep it clean, you! I'm a respectable lady in this business. No, my guilty pleasure. In fact, I rate it worse than David Cameron's guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
My guilty pleasure is
Pop-Tarts.
It's even worse than that.
What's worse or better, if depending on how you look at it, than Pop-Tarts?
Deal or No Deal.
Oh, what, the show?
Yeah, that's my guilty pleasure.
I've never watched that. Actually, no, I have.
You're missing out.
No,
drop the Pop-Tarts.
My friend's ex-missus was on one time. She wasn't on one. She was on the
she was on one.
Oh, man, it was a mad thing. No, she was on the show. Once over Christmas, she won like 16 grand.
Damn! But I do think they need to rename the show How Greedy Are You?
Just how greedy are you? Let's just call
I've been
it
on Deal or No Deal as well, but I was really? I only had to sit in the stands and got to guess what case I had.
Oh, fair play. And is there any footage of that?
There was two cases.
Just looking creepy.
Oh, man, yeah.
Looking creepy.
So
in the
many.
Hey, what's in that box?
And literally, it was two cases left. It was a 50-50. And if you get it right, you get $500. Right, I got it wrong. Pricks.
You're like,
do I get 250? Do I get 250?
No,
I don't do that.
Naughty Boy was on the producer. Naughty Boy was on Deal or No Deal. He won like $44,000.
As Naughty Boy or as his government self?
I think as his government self.
Yeah. So, imagine. But was he actually like known as Naughty Boy at the time?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't know. Okay. I have no idea.
Because you don't watch Deal or No Deal.
Yeah, partly. Because I just don't know that much about Naughty
Boy.
I stopped stalking him a while ago.
So you got over it. Got over that crush. But no, I'm definitely curious, like, about other people's, like, maybe forbidden histories that they'd rather go unrecognised and acknowledged.
Or even like wild stuff that you've seen at school, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, mine's Soggy
some
Biscuit.
Crazy
but
stuff.
Never saw it.
People do some weird shit. How long are you at university for, Sarah? You must have seen a lot of strange things.
How long? Well, no. I mean, I was at uni for 3 years. I went to a respectable uni where I was there for a reason. I wasn't there just to
But
like.
You must have seen some stuff.
Well, no, I mean, the most extreme thing is probably people just blazing it down in the student union.
Yeah,
so pretty healthy kind of things, really. Yeah. On that, it's unfortunately,
damn.
I didn't get to go.
I don't know.
We were blazing it up in the student union. We used to do concerts every lunchtime in the student union, blazing it up. That's as wild as it got, really.
Oh, right.
It was a music.
Shit,
school,
I saw a guy
steal
a bus. A guy from our high school stole the school bus. He was fucking wasted. He was a crazy man. The bus driver got off for a minute. He's like, everyone was right there, and he was like, bang, all over it. Didn't even think twice. Bang, he jacked the bus for about half an hour. But even better than that, he stopped at every stop.
Also, there were kids on the bus too.
He
just wanted to take the dude's job.
This guy was absolutely nuts. Like, it was crazy dude. Had half of his face was burnt from fires that he'd started and all sorts of like this guy was absolutely
I love the
nuts.
Contrasts of your university compared to Hughes Primary School.
No, that was my high school. That was my high school, man. I know.
Boredom, I guess.
Some crazy
it's the
stuff.
Boredom things that happen.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
But no, so you let us know. I want to know from you, Michael, as well, after we play this.
Crazy
tune,
stuff I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult to top the Soggy Biscuit.
It's going to be difficult to top the blazing in the student union.
Oh, really? Is that really that
no,
out
no,
there?
I'm lying.
it was
craziest thing.
After this tune, first I think we need to play a tune dedicated to what's our leader called? Our leader,
David Cameron.
Yeah, it's Pork Cameron.
He's acting now as well. He's starring in Porkback Mountain. It's going to be amazing.
I can't wait to see that. But no, hit us up in the studio on Twitter at FUBAR Radio, and you can email shd@fubarradio.com. Cypress Hill put it quite nicely. The tune set to the theme of pigs. So sending this one out to our great attractive leader, David.
Thanks.
I wonder how long till we get the Cypress Hill film. There's blatantly going to be like a barrage of like these films coming up in it after the success of what's it called?
Straight out of Compton.
Trends. That's quite annoying, isn't it? Trends. That's what we call nowadays. Trends.
Hey, do you like my mug?
I do. Praise bacon.
Yeah.
Praise be to bacon.
Praise bacon.
I'm with David Cameron. I love pigs. I love them. Not to death like him, though. He loves them to death.
No, we love eating them. He loves them.
He loves them in another way.
Yeah.
Stuck his sausage in a pig.
Yeah. Is that like Inception? A pig within a pig?
I've not seen Inception.
So you have now.
No need to see it now.
It's a really, really good movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. Great. And basically what they do is they go into dreams to create another dream within the dream to then change things around.
Yeah.
So a quite pig like David Cameron putting his pork sword into a pig is literally Inception, isn't it?
Oh, pigs and bacon.
Tell you what, though, yes. It is a pretty amazing story, isn't it? And, you know, we have been chatting about.
But, Michael, you were saying that it sounded as though you had even more. From your public school experiences, you've witnessed some pretty.
Yeah, some gritty
harrowing.
Shit going down.
Give us an insight for us lay scumbag people who just went to state school. Let us know how does it get down? No pause. Don't hold back on us now, Michael. I know
man.
You've got the truth.
Because the thing is,
We can handle the truth.
I don't know if you can, though. I genuinely
Michael,
don't.
Michael, do you know who you're talking to?
Like, I do. That's why I'm saying it. Like, literally, you've literally just shown us exactly exactly why I shouldn't tell you this by saying that the wildest shit that ever went down at your uni was blazing in the common room. Do you know what I mean?
I can't tell you this. I was focused on my career, so I didn't have time to be getting involved in those
shady
activities.
What about a party or anything like that? A university party or maybe something like that? I mean, was it just me that went to a really rowdy school? Like, we had all sorts of shit happen at our school. I remember a kid getting kicked out of our class at high school because the teacher literally, like, we could smell smoke. We're like, what the fuck's this guy doing? He was having a bong in his backpack at the back of the class. Literally had a, and he was like, and he was like, seriously, I'm not even kidding you. She caught me after about the sixth one. I'd be punching bongs the whole class.
This is in high school.
Yeah, and just like blowing this. He was sitting right at the back next to the window. We're like, he was just.
Amazing. That was how to get through.
You don't need my stories at all.
Oh man,
we're getting a little insight into Australian school life.
Yeah,
so keep hitting us up. Coming up after this tune, we're going to have a very special guest join us in the show.
Yeah,
B Dolan is going to be we're going to be chatting away with him, so keep it locked to Fubar Radio. That's just around the corner. But first, something classic from Company Flow. Michael, you were saying you had to dedicate that to somebody.
Yeah, I dedicate this one to my DJ, one of my best friends, my brother, Odin. He was actually playing this in his house the other day.
Aww.
I was just around, we were just having a little smoke and listening to some tunes. And he put this on, and I was like, what the fuck is this, man?
Aww.
I'd never heard it before.
Was that the first time you had heard Company Flow?
Yeah, honestly.
Aww.
So I thought, you know, I'm going to play this the next time I'm on the radio.
Almost got time for Company Flow.
Mm.
It's classic OGs there.
Yeah, man, I admit I was...
sleeping, son.
That's it. The thing is, I'm not one of those people that will ever brag and say, I've heard everything there is.
I've heard everything.
No, I wouldn't doubt that, because you're a DJ.
Not heard everything.
No, but I'm sure you've heard a lot more, even just hip-hop, but I'd say in general music, than me. By virtue of the fact that you are a DJ and you have been for a long time.
Okay, you know I'll take that.
And that makes you sound old, but you're not. You know, you're still beautiful, Sarah.
I was old, I wouldn't be beautiful.
God damn.
There's no winning, Michael.
Do we have a sound effect of a grave being dug?
I'm just messing with
there we
you.
Go. Thank you, Hugh.
But honestly, the more you learn about music, the more you realise you know nothing about music.
Yeah, true that.
You know? So it's that. And that's not just applicable to music, that's just life too on the line.
Unless you're Simon Cowell, he knows everything about music.
Yeah,
he does.
He's
found the cheat code.
Cheat code.
Someone gave him a cheat code.
He created the cheat code.
Yeah, for real.
Oh my god, now we got to live with these people that he's created. He's thrown into our existence.
He didn't give
the
cheat code to anyone else either. He literally just kept it.
Oh my god, that guy is just like the beast. You know he's down with the pig gate kind
of scenario. Of course he is. He's probably the one who egged him on. Get it? I don't even know. That's not even the connection. It's just egg. Bacon and egg. There we go.
Oh,
there's the connection.
Somewhere. It's coming eventually.
We need to clean up this show. On the line right now, hopefully you're going to bring some kind of more.
No, we're totally going to be asking him about pigs. We're totally going to be asking
him about pigs. About pigs. No, but on the line right now, we are joined by our special guest all the way over in the States. B Dolan, are you there? Can you hear us?
What's a guan?
What's a
radio? He's an old boy.
What's going on? Who's got the bongs in the backpack? I'm cracking.
Oh, that's how you're rolling. What was the wildest... Before we get into chatting to you then, what was the wildest thing you ever witnessed, like at school or at college or university? Like Hugh here was saying, just in his high school, like kids were robbing the school buses and smoking bongs at the back of the class.
I think he's lying. I think that's kindergarten.
Yeah.
Call it kindergarten.
There was some shit going down at primary school, dude.
My high school, I used to keep some like cough suppressant in my locker.
I don't even understand what that means or does. I know like the description is in the name, but what?
Yeah, you know what NyQuil is?
NyQuil. Isn't that like a way of like putting someone to sleep?
Yeah, it's like codeine, you know, it's like...
Yeah, you're putting yourself
to sleep.
So
you were like rehypnoling the teachers at school?
No, were you just basically drinking it?
Yeah. In between classes, man, I was
Sibman's sister. Yeah, that's a big thing in the States, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is, like, it wasn't even, I don't even think it was a thing in the States. This is like maybe 98 or 99.
Yeah, no, because the thing is, even back then, because the first like sort of high profile rapper I ever heard sort of being addicted to cough mixture was Beanie Siegel. And then and then further on, like later on, like Lil Wayne's been associated with cough syrup like various other like high profile rappers. But it's become like it seems like a really new trend. But that, like I said, the first one I ever heard of was Beanie Siegel being addicted to it.
Yeah, I don't endorse it. I was a dumb high school kid.
Whatever your vice is, to be fair.
We had a girl in our in a class, a home economics class once, burst into tears and then declared that she was an alcoholic because she'd been drinking the vanilla essence and stuff all year. And she's like, I've been taking it home. I can't stop. I'm an alcoholic. You're just a 14-year-old fucking idiot.
I just knew when I drank the cough suppressant, I felt good.
Not that we're recommending that to anybody listening to FUBAR, especially people at school.
But you are going to try
announcement by FUBAR Radio.
Only do it if you are feeling bad and you need to feel good. Otherwise, don't do it. Only do it if you got memories you need to suppress. Otherwise, don't do it.
We definitely need to start adding massive disclaimer at the beginning of the show. I think this is like confirmed by this conversation. But welcome to the show, B. Dolan.
We're off to a good start.
We are.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Cardiff, Wales.
Wow. Goodness me.
That's a whole other country.
That doesn't sound like a Welsh accent.
Yeah, it's a whole other place, man.
Wow. Do you live in Cardiff?
No, I'm on tour.
Okay, I see.
Dude, there's a lot of pigs in Wales. Are they like, what's the vibe like there on the street?
They're all hiding behind trees, disguised as sheep. Yeah.
Disguised as wearing jumpers and shit.
I don't know if you heard the news, B. Dolan. Well, can I just call you B for today?
Yeah, you can call me B or Dolan or whatever.
Sure.
He'll
call you Boo.
Our leader, our great leader, David Cameron, if you've heard of him, he's got busted doing some dodgy activities while he was in university, including putting his genitalia into a dead pig's mouth.
I was reading about that last night because I was seeing it like trending on Twitter, and I was seeing people sharing that screenshot from Black Mirror.
Yeah, because it's actually
you know that show?
So amazing. It's quite funny how you put it out there into the universe, into the atmosphere, and it comes back. You've got to project that energy, and I guess that's what's happened with your own project, because you're just releasing you released an album in 2010, Fallen House, is that right?
Yes, yeah.
And that was your first album?
That was actually my second album. That was my first kind of like majorly distributed release was Fallen House, but I had a previous album in 2008, mixtape in 2009, Fallen House in 2010. And then since then we put out two more mixtapes before the new official album that came out this year.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Whereabouts are you based?
I'm based out of Providence, Rhode Island, which is on the East Coast, right in between Boston and New York. About 3 hours north of New York and 1 hour south of Boston.
Which the amount of times I've been out there and I've never made it to Rhode Island. I'm having a mind block now. I'm trying to think of other hip hop people from the Rhode Island area. Who's killing
Sage
it?
Sage Francis.
Say again.
Sage Francis. Yeah.
Sage Francis, the dude that runs my record label, Strange Famous. He came out of Rhode Island.
But run me through a bunch of other names who are out of Rhode Island, or for the listeners too.
Man, there was a group called Time Machine a while back that did some things. This dude Prolific, who's also on our label. Rhode Island's kind of always had a scene. Rhode Island has a very kind of interesting scene because it's a very small state. It's the smallest state in the United States.
Interesting fact.
And Providence is the capital. But like for the amount of people that live there, there's like there's a lot of creative people doing in a lot of different genres, and because there's so few people, like you just end up getting dragged to everything. So there's a huge like hardcore scene that would kind of just share the same kids, you know. It's sort of all one scene in Providence. So there's a band called Lightning Bolt that I think just played All Tomorrow's Parties, and you know, like they opened for, you know, like a lot of people in the hardcore world know Providence for Lightning Bolt and a couple other bands like White Mice and Drop Dead and stuff.
Groups out of the 90s?
What's that?
Are they like hardcore groups of the 90s, you mean?
2000s, you know. Okay. Like, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we do our thing. We represent.
Yes, and what's your, like, inform the people about B. Dolan if they don't know. Like, what's your whole background as an artist? What are you up to?
Well, you know, because I came from that, because I was a student of, like, kind of 90s rap. I was born in 81, so I kind of came up by the time I was 12 years old. You know, I was like Illmatic, Enter the Wu-Tang, you know, like a lot of East Coast stuff. So, you know, at first very influenced by Boot Camp Click and Redman and that type of stuff. And moved to New York in 99, started performing at the New Eurekan Poets Cafe.
Okay.
And a lot of people came to know me as a spoken word artist just because of that, like, weird little detour. But yeah, I mean,
because that's one of the things that I've always found kind of interesting with Rhode Island, because in a way it's like you guys are living in under the shadow of, like, Boston, New York, like, being that they're much bigger, like, hip hop scenes and stuff. Do you think that's fair?
I mean, at the time I was growing up, hip hop was nowhere around us. I grew up in this kind of, like, you know, little mill village that, you know, like, he used to have a working mill and had just become kind of like a lower class kind of, you know, spot. But, you know, all the kids were at that time into, like, hair metal and, you know, like, Slayer and Metallica and stuff. And hip hop wasn't the dominant thing that it is now. So we just had, like, we would get these little, like, radio signals from Boston underground, you know, radio and, you know, just like, just hang on to whatever little tapes you could trade in school. And we kind of, like, just found hip hop in little, you know, cracks and crevices like that. And then, yeah, I moved to New York when I was 18 because it was just where all my favorite rappers were from. So I was like, I want to be a rapper. So I guess I got to go to New York. And, it, you know, it kind of worked.
How long were you out in work in New York for?
About 4 years, I think. Okay. And I was living there during September 11th, and after that, the city just got so crazy. Mm. I mean, we kind of went crazy.
What do you mean?
I mean, we really thought on the night of September 11th, as, like, Air Force jets were flying low over our tenement housing, like, shaking the building. You know, we were like, I guess we're at war. Like, I guess this is going to be every day now. Like, we didn't have a sense that this was a one-time thing.
Yeah.
You know, we were just like, wow, that's the opening shot, and the world is now at war. And we are living in the most populated target in the world. You know, it was deeply, like, traumatic to watch your city just get turned into that overnight, you know.
God, it's crazy, isn't it, man? Like, even talking to my nan, who was, she was in London during World War II, and she was saying that for that 6 years, it was every morning and every night there was air raids, and the city was just getting blown to pieces, you know what I mean, for 6 years. Can you just imagine it? And that's just what all of a sudden it becomes, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you go to get on the subway, and there's, like, armed guards there. You're driving on the FDR. There's tanks on the mezzanine, in the middle strip. You know, it was just, it was a military lockdown zone, and we were just like, well, okay, this is going to keep happening. You know, we got to get ourselves and our people, like, out of here, and we have to go somewhere else. So we moved to Providence in, like, October 2002. And, you know, it's not something that it's reported or talked about, but, like, a lot of people kind of fled the city in the weeks after that, like, because everyone had that sense. No one knew what was happening next. And at the time, we kind of were like, well, if one more thing happens, we got to get out of here. And then that's when, like, anthrax started getting mailed to people all over the city. And the first, like, anthrax patient came into, like, my girlfriend at the time, her mother's hospital, like, treated the first anthrax patient. So it was all just, like, you know, the walls were kind of closing in, and everywhere you went, you know, you'd be on the subway, and you'd be looking up at, like, the subway grates, like, oh, man, you know, everywhere I go, I'm with 1,000 other people. I'm in a mass target, you know. So it was, like, deep paranoia stuff that eventually led me to just be in Providence in 2002, which is where I bumped into Sage Francis. And, you know, the rest is kind of history. We met and began collaborating. He put me out on his record label. He showed me the touring routes, brought me out on tour in 2005. And then, yeah, that's, you know, it's all kind of gone from there.
Well, like, before we get into any more of the detail, let's hear some of your music, because I want to play a couple of your tracks too. So first, we're going to drop something. All Right. Is this off of the new project, Kill the Wolf?
Yeah, that's a new one.
Okay, so let's hit the party people with that, and then hold the line for us, because we're going to come back on the other side. You're tuned into FUBAR Radio with Sarah, Hugh, and Mike Hill too, and we are chatting with B. Dolan. I'm only 33, but my mind is older. I've been around the globe with the crew. I'm saying that I feel good, but I That's the sounds of B. Dolan, and the track is called All Right. And we have B. Dolan on the line, but you are an American artist, but you're actually speaking to us from Cardiff, Wales.
From Cardiff. Woo. From my second home in Cardiff, Wales, baby.
Is it sunny?
Yeah, it's pretty sunny.
I wasn't convinced by that answer.
I wasn't expecting that answer.
That was not convincing.
I mean,
it's like, yeah, it's UK sunny, you know.
Yeah, so raining. why did you just say Wales is your second home?
I've been here like once before.
All right. I was born in Wales, so I thought a fellow countryman, but no, goddamn liar, trying to get on the team. Hey, B Dolan, I got to ask you. So obviously, you know, say historically, when a rapper is touring, and any band for that matter, you try to do it as cheaply as possible. So it would make sense to the cheapest way a rapper really can do it is just take a DJ with them. Yeah. But then you know, you want to expand that a little bit more, you might get a drummer and a bass player, maybe a guitarist, maybe keys.
Yeah.
I saw that you took a 20-piece marching band on tour with you. 27.
Jesus Christ.
My Lord.
On this current tour?
Not on this current tour. That was the first time I headlined England. We had a show called The Church of Love and Ruin, which was this like variety show. That featured a band called the What Cheer Brigade. That they would open. They were a 19-piece marching band, and they would open, and then they would back me up for the last couple songs of the set. I would rap over the marching band, and then there was also this New Orleans bounce MC named Vaka Radu, and he had like two backup dancers with him, and then there was this burlesque dancer named Magic Honor. So it was this big like variety show. It was a really crazy tour. And yeah, we got, I think we booked like 6 shows, and then we played Bestival. And
as in last week,
it was logistically absolutely insane. It was.
Do you mean Bestival just gone like in this last couple of weeks?
Yeah, not that this was 3 years ago now.
Okay, not this last Bestival.
I was at Bestival last week. I did a set, but it was a spoken word set there. But this is
the 100-piece marching band.
Yeah. We had Stevie Wonder was the headliner that year, and we brought more people than Stevie.
Wow. So, pal, Stevie, put that in your pipe.
But
he didn't
notice anyway.
He wouldn't have known.
He wouldn't have noticed anyway.
Yeah, and we didn't lose any money on that tour.
You are.
That's amazing.
We managed to not lose any money.
Wow, you need to keep a hold of your tour manager.
You need to start paying your fucking marching band, man.
But where were the marching band from the States?
Yeah, everybody was from the States.
Whereabouts are they from?
The marching band is from Providence. Yeah, there were another Providence band that... they came up playing those hardcore shows. They were a marching band that would cover hardcore songs.
Wow.
Do they have a name they go by, or is that the extent of their shout-out?
They're called the What Cheer Brigade.
What Cheer?
What Cheer Brigade, yeah.
Cool.
You can find them on Twitter.
Very, very cool. I like that. Incorporating live musicians.
Yeah. We were sleeping in a venue space in Birmingham. Because they just like let us sleep there, and fans brought air mattresses and mattresses and blankets and stuff, because we couldn't obviously pay for hotel rooms for 27 people. We were showering in like a local homeless shelter that agreed to let us take showers in the morning. So like after every show, we would drive everybody back to Birmingham, go to sleep, wake up, shower in the homeless shelter, drive out to the next show, play it, drive back to Birmingham, repeat.
That's hardcore.
Hey, after this tour, did you call up the marching band again and go, hey guys, I've got another show, and then just beep, 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 beep.
No, no. Man, those crust punk kids, man. Those hardcore kids are road tested, man. All they need is a floor to sleep on.
Fair play.
That's amazing.
Where we come from.
No diva business. But tell us about this new project then. So it's the Kill the Wolf that dropped earlier this year, right?
Yeah, Kill the Wolf dropped earlier this year. It's actually the official album. I worked on it for 5 years. That's why Fallen House was 2010. This was the next official LP, even though me and Buddy Peace released 2 mixtapes in the interim. But it was an album that I oversaw the production of completely. So even when beats weren't mine, it was a kind of a complex, very collaborative process. There's like over 20 musicians involved in making that album, guest vocalists, other rappers like Aesop Rock and Buck 65, and guest producers lending drums or scratches here and there. You know, it was just this really huge collaborative thing. And yeah, 5 years is how long it took to make it good. There was no break in there. I was working for 5 years on it.
But you don't seem to do things by you don't seem to do things by halves at all, mate. So that's surprising.
Well, man, because I'm, you know, I'm terrified of falling off. I'm terrified of like, you know, I do something and it's like, well, okay, now I know how to do that. So if I know how to do it, you know, it's that thing where like everybody always likes your first record more than all the other records, because in your first record you didn't know what the hell you were doing, but it was just all like energy and passion and like the idea. And the way I try and keep myself sharp is to just keep making these like challenges for myself, and to make it so I don't know what I'm doing necessarily, and I keep myself in that state.
And so, you know, what else are you up to in the UK then? So you're in Cardiff right now, then what's next?
Tomorrow night we play London, and it's looking like it's going to be a crazy show. Last night was Bristol. Bristol was absolutely incredible. That was one of my favorite shows I've played in London.
Wow.
Man, they've all been good so far. Even Manchester was hype.
Even Manchester. That was like backhand amazing compliment to Manchester. No, Manchester's a great city. But where are you tomorrow in London?
Tomorrow we're at XOYO.
Oh, cool. Around the corner from me.
Buddy Peace is opening. There's going to be a lot of special guests in the house. I probably shouldn't say their names, but the guy that runs my record label might come through.
Cool.
Very cool. And I want to play another track from your album. This is Jailbreak. How did this track come together? Because you've got a bunch of like features on here, isn't it?
Yeah, this track started out as something Buddy P sent me. And it was originally a remix. The beat was a remix of an Aesop Rock song. And I started working on it. And I started, me and Buck 65 were trying to make a song out of it. And so once we had our verses on it, on kind of a whim, I just sent it to Aesop. And I was like, hey, man, like, it sounds funny, but I've had your voice in my head the whole time because I knew that this came from a remix of yours. So I've been trying to, like, avoid, you know, flowing like you on it. But, you know, if you want to hop on this, and he did, and he absolutely smashed it.
Amazing.
So this is like, one of my favorite collaborations I've done in a while.
Ew, well, let's drop some of that for the people to hear. And this is also from Kill the Wolf album, so go pick that up. You're tuned into Be Donut. Be Donut, in a minute, I'm going to have an important question for you, okay?
I'm going to get ready.
Okay, so yeah, be prepared. You're tuned into FUBAR Radio.
Nights on the lights out, days in a hole. Might wonder quite how I stay in the
middle.
Yeah, totally. Sell. Bye. Be Dolan, you're back on the AR. Sorry to just like expose your private conversation you were having there to all the listeners.
I'm chilling out here.
Is he dead? Is he dead? That's what I heard. Is he dead? Did you do it?
I'm here with Buddy Peace waiting for him to open the venue in Cardiff.
I'm just
sitting on a sidewalk with Buddy Peace across from the venue waiting for them to open it.
Ah.
I see. And so, yes, what's the deal today? What's going to be happening in Cardiff?
Man, bedlam.
You know,
it's going to be wet. It's going to be wet. It's going to be moist. It's going to be textured.
Goodness me. It sounds like David Cameron.
I was going to say, have you got Drake? Have you got Drake as one of the special guests?
No. Oh, man. But David C.
No, he doesn't get... You can't give him a hood pass. You can't give him a name like David C. after he just stuck his dick in a pig.
Yeah.
He doesn't get anything remotely near a hood pass.
The only C I won't say on air.
David H.
Yeah.
David Hamron.
Hamron.
Oh, David Hamron. Yeah.
Hamron. Yeah.
Yes. Sort of calling him the swine.
Last week he was Cam-rong.
Cam-rong.
Maybe we confuse the two. Hamron.
Yeah.
Get creative with it. Yes, you're tuned into FUBAR Radio. Now B. Dolan is on the line. He's been talking to us about his new record, and that last tune was from the album too. You're on tour in the UK at the moment. Now, B, I don't know if you've ever heard the show before, but every week we ask the listeners like very important question, because really we see that this show is really about all the listeners, and it's giving them an opportunity to vent about the things that in this last week have made them say,
"Are you taking the piss?"
Now, being American, I understand that there's many Americans who don't understand what that phrase means. Just non-English people, do you understand what the phrase "are you taking the piss" means?
I've hung around your country long enough to understand.
I've been around your people, your kind.
I've mixed with you savages.
So, yes, in a little while, we're going to be getting into our section of the show.
Are you taking the piss?
So everybody needs to hit us up. Now is the time to get in touch at shd@foodbarradio.com or hit us on twitter.com/foodbarradio. So, and we're going to be turning the tables over to you, B. Diamond, too, to find out what in this last week, in this tour life, exotic tour life that you're leading, has made you say, are you taking the piss? But before that, you guys have been hitting us up thick and fast about crazy things you've seen in your school days or uni days, and I'm obviously lived an extremely sheltered life where the wildest thing happening.
Let's pay attention to where they're writing from as well, because I know it's the wilder they are, it'll be people from like Surrey or Cheshire.
But that's what I was going to say. Me being at music college, people were pretty focused and into what they were doing, so it's not like we really were getting bored.
It was just a different culture as well. Do you know what I mean?
We wanted to be there.
Yeah, you just don't. I think the lower you go down social classes, people just want less dirt on them. Do you know what I mean? So like you might see some like dodgy shit going down, and you're just gonna like remove yourself from it. Do you know what I mean? Like case in point, like what I was saying about, you know, the school that I went to, all the rich kids would be involved in their dodgy little games, but I was always just a bit I'm good.
Little bit of dirt on you is just gonna be a thousandfold.
It's usually the weirdest, wildest shit. It's usually jocks or sport heads or something that who's from the richer family.
Exactly.
Now, if you have just joined us, we've of course, generalizations.
No, you can
do that generalisation. That's a fine one. If you have just joined us, of course we've been talking about David Cameron putting his dick into a dead pig's mouth. I'm going to just put it as bluntly as possible. So we've been asking you guys, what's the wildest, weird, or craziest things you've seen at university or school, for that matter? Either we've had Oliver just from London has tweeted us. I was woken up at 3 a.m. by my uni housemate with a teapot full of tea, knocking me, asking how I was.
You are?
I think he made a special pot of tea. So apparently he got woken up in the middle of the night, someone stand like face to face with him with a teapot, just knocking on him. Are you okay?
Oh my God.
Are you okay?
That's the point when my door is locked. Yeah. You ain't getting anywhere near me. I'm moving house.
Big Dolan, what about you, mate? Have you got any other weird stuff springing to mind that you saw at uni or high school or something or college?
Man, you keep asking me about like weird stuff I saw, and all I can remember is weird things I did.
Yes, that's even better. What if you put your dick in, B. Dolan?
I think I was the weird guy that other people saw. You know, my roommate was very religious my freshman year of college, and I was really into weed, and I had no rolling
papers. Your religion
papers.
Was weed, yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, someone had told me that Bible paper worked as really good rolling paper.
Amazing.
And I just sneakily, from the book of John or something, just took a couple
You
pages.
Sound really familiar. He's like, the book of Dave or something. I think that's the name.
Should have took it from the book of Job. This will do
man, like,
Job.
But over the course of the semester, you know, like, he ran out of rolling papers a couple times, and like soon, like you know, like
half the Bible was missing. Soon,
I'm lying. It was Job. It was Job. I would always take from the book of Job. One day he just opened his Bible and realized he didn't. I don't think he put it together that it was a weed thing. I think he just realized I had been opening and cutting pages out of his Bible, which I think really deeply disturbed him and freaked him out. And he asked for a transfer and shit.
Oh, wow. He was like, I need to get away from this freak.
It's iconic.
Suddenly the Bible made a lot
more
sense.
You're just a stoner.
I only lasted about a year in college, and then I realized. That
That's understandable.
Gone through all the Bible papers.
How about this one? This one's amazing. This is Nina from Hackney. She tweeted us at FUBAR Radio saying that she had a stuntman, an actual stuntman from Star Wars, came to our uni and was doing a lightsaber battle demonstration.
Ew!
Right? So he asked for one of the students to get up and do the demonstration with him, and then the guy that he chose went up. And he started battling with the guy from Star Wars. And the guy, the student, was so excited and such a big Star Wars fan, so into it, that he got a very large erection poking out of his jeans.
Oh, my God.
Right? But he kept going. He didn't know. He was having such a great time.
A fun third voice, 2 seconds.
Zoo, 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 zoo.
Oh, my God.
With a mighty rod in his hand and his pantaloons.
I need to know how that came to an end? How that came to a climax?
I'd say probably
was it a happy ending?
I'd say it probably ended with a lie down and a cigarette. I'd say, to be honest.
Goodness me!
This
poor
is why you should drop out of college.
Yeah, these are reasons not to go to uni.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't need to be there.
Public erections are just a part of life if you're a guy.
They are, man.
They are just a part of life.
All too common. All too common. Just on a bus going over speed bumps. With a bag on my lap.
Yeah.
Basically, that is it, isn't it?
That's what it takes. A bus going over speed bumps with a bag on my lap.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have to admit, I have to go, like, I live in Hackney and I've got to get off at Tottenham. Do you know what I mean? Because mine lasts for ages.
Yeah.
I'm on the circle line, I've just got to go all the way around like 8 times.
My goodness.
Yeah.
I told you, I'm very sheltered.
Hey, B-Dolan.
I don't know about these
things. What about this, B-Dolan? We know improv comedy is very big in the States. Thomas from Brighton's tweeted us at FUBAR Radio saying, I was witness to some weird uni improv comedy group. They used to try and start flash mobs everywhere they went around the courtyard. And the cringy thing was, there was only 4 of them.
Sorry, can I just say, to my sheltered existence, what is a flash mob?
You just didn't know the term. Yeah. You know when you're watching an advert or a film?
Like I didn't know the term for Dutch oven that Hugh informed me.
Tell me you didn't find out the hard way.
It's easier if I just show you,
babe.
I didn't even know the name.
It's a lot harder if you just show you. It's harder for her. A flash mob is like, you know, you've seen them on adverts. They've been made quite popular. They went mainstream.
Yeah, they're trending.
In certain adverts. It's just when a load of people get together in a wide public space and just do like a synchronized, like either a dance or... No?
Okay.
They're in films.
When a lot
of
white people get together in a public space.
Much clearer now. Thank you. You just said a bunch of people. Yeah, but
yeah,
I'm like,
peak audacity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think I have heard of such things trending online or something. Yeah.
Yeah, they love their flash mobs and pumpkin spice lattes.
Oh, that's it. What's the film with Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis?
Oh, is that the Time one?
No, the other one. The Friends of Benefits.
Friends with Benefits.
Yes,
Nodding enthusiastically from the other side of the
glass. There's a flash mob scene in Friends with Benefits. I'm right, aren't I? Yeah, yeah. Of course there is. Yeah.
Okay.
It's wicked.
Right. I need to get involved with this flash mob lifestyle.
Yeah. It's not about that life.
That was a really weird one. Can we get to a normal one now from one of our listeners? From Dan in Leeds. He's tweeted us at FUBAR Radio saying, "In primary school, there was a boy who used to talk to a brush."
Oh, baby.
He was his best friend.
Oh, baby. Where is that guy now? We need to find him.
We needed to level things out there. It was going
He's a rapper, yeah. Or is Pete in Pimlico?
Did she say in primary school?
Yeah, primary school.
Oh, as long as it was in primary school.
Uni would have been much better.
Yes, it's in primary school. Secondary school, bang, you're getting knocked out. No, I'm joking.
You can hear me. Just leave the brush alone. Don't cut the brush up. Don't hurt the brush.
Oh,
Bobby. B. Dolan, do you think the UK is even weirder now?
Do I think the UK is any weirder now? I mean, I still nothing has topped David Cameron.
The brushing.
Except maybe like aside from that new Macklemore video.
Hold on, are you talking about
David
the
Cameron
one?
This week.
Are you talking about the
Downtown?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Sorry, can someone is it Ryan? No, who is the guy singing in that song?
It's Macklemore.
I don't know.
Adam from the other side of the glass trying to communicate to me, but I can't hear him. The singer.
Is it Macklemore and...
No, but the guy singing.
Is it Ryan Lewis?
Ryan Lewis. Is he really successful?
He's a producer.
He should not be singing. Someone needs to get a message to him ASAP. Cut it out, dude.
Oh, you're not feeling his singing?
No!
I haven't heard it personally.
Anyone can sing like that, can't they?
Okay.
Whatever the vocal is he's doing on that song, I was just like, whoa, this is definitely a joke, right?
I'm not going to find out that he's B. Dolan's brother.
No, that guy, the guy singing on it's from some famous band in the States, like a famous rock pop group or something in the States. I can't remember the name now because
I haven't even heard the song, so I just feel.
Well, the singing is appalling. But no, you mean, what were your own comments about the song?
Oh, I was just saying that might be the only thing that's topping David Cameron on the "Are You Taking a Piss" meter for me this week.
But why did you say that's? Why is that your "Are You Taking the Piss"?
I just that's how I felt watching it. You know,
no, like but because there's people listening who'll say like, what can possibly be wrong with that? So I'm like, explain.
What takes place?
What's the problem?
In general, man, I feel it's mediocre. I feel it's incredibly mediocre, like a lot of what is celebrated in pop music. And as a spectacle of rap music, which is the culture I'm from and care about, like I don't think it's representative of much. You know, I think it's watered down rap for soccer moms.
So you see how on the flip side there were a lot of people who were like, no, you got to give him props because he's showing love to these originators, like, you know, Kendrick Lamar ain't doing that, not certain other people ain't doing that, but he's like brought through
Kendrick Lamar is doing that. Kendrick Lamar had MC8 on his first record. Kendrick, you know, Kendrick's always bigging up Compton. Kendrick's always involving Dre and the rest of his coast. That, you know, I mean it's cool. I'm not hating on dude. I was, you know, that Macklemore joke is easy because I feel that it's kind of, it's soft.
Yes,
it's not,
it is pop rock.
I mean, it's a moped gang.
It's not. I'm a hip-hop head. And when I hear that, I don't hear good rap, you know?
I think a lot. It was interesting because I saw, and Big Daddy Kane was bigging him up, and he was just like, yeah, "No, this is dope. You know, props. Who else is it who's bringing out these guys onto the record? These are the architects of rap business, and no one shows them love. And he's got them up in their video and all this kind of stuff." And so I was just like, "Yeah, that's cool." But then on the other side, there were other people who were like, "Yeah, but he's brought them on the record to validate him. It ain't necessarily about like bringing shine to hip hop or really educating anyone on the history of like who these guys are and why they're significant people to the history of pop music. Is literally just about validating his, you know, authenticity and credibility as an artist.
Yeah, and he took a lot of heat because he put out that last record and then he won the Grammy over Kendrick. And any fan of hip hop, I mean, the Grammys have a long history of not being credible in terms of rap, period. Like, they only recognized rap when they were forced to.
Yeah.
They didn't even televise the rap category, you know.
After the Wu-Tang saga at the Grammys, since then, they're like, okay, we won't put this on air now. But that's why I wonder, why does anyone even care or pay attention to what these random-ass people who sit in the office determine who the winner of these awards are? I really couldn't give a damn.
Yeah, exactly. I you know, Kanye, I don't know if you guys caught the MTV Video Music Awards, but Kanye had this, you know, they had this like, you know, epic 12-minute rant because they, you know, they knew Kanye was going to do Kanye, so they gave him a microphone and just let him go off. Yeah. But man,
let's do this in a controlled way.
But when Kanye talks, man, I understand what he's saying. Like, I think I'm on a wavelength with Kanye to a certain degree because, man, what that dude was saying was really real. Like, he was saying, like, I don't understand award shows. Like, why would these people who sold concert tickets, you know, sold records, you know, made incredible albums, why would they come here and stand, you know, put themselves in a position to be called a loser?
It's true.
You know, and yet we are what validates this whole thing.
But then he constantly contradicts himself, because why is he there then, and why is he making such a stand by interrupting people's speeches to say, recognize Beyonce's artistry, if he thinks it's a joke?
Yeah, in the music industry, man, we are forced to jump through a lot of hoops. And I
no,
don't doubt
you're
that
not.
Kanye,
I've never been forced to jump through a hoop. I am my own person, and I only will do what I want to do, you know what I mean? And that's the problem, is that people feel as though you have to jump through certain hoops to get authorized by someone who's actually nothing to do with your community. Everything that I have in my career has come from my community and us working and nurturing each other. And I think that's the story of hip-hop,
When you're dealing with like fan bases on a global scale, to even get in front of your fans or reach your fans, sometimes like there's these gatekeepers that monitor just the paths of distribution. Just to even have kids who are my fans know that my album is out, I have to jump through some hoops. I have to do some press. I have to, you know, write an 800 word op-ed, you know, or whatever. You know, like,
this is true.
There's things you have to do, and Kanye has to try and remain relevant to rap, because if he doesn't, you know, he's already, you know, Kanye's already not quite the dude he was in rap 6 years ago. You know, he's doing fast and he's doing this and doing that, but he's not running rap. You know, he's not Drake right now. You know, Kanye has slipped a notch by even taking time out to do fashion and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, granted, I'm not saying like poor Kanye, but you know, like there's things we have to contend with.
No, definitely.
Like you have to talk about people having sex with dead pigs to a UK radio station with a Welsh guy from Australia. Like, that's a bit of...
This is part of the job.
But yeah, we kind of dipped into some early, are you taking the piss there? So you need to... Now is the time, party people, you need to be hitting us up with your messages. I think you do... Do you still have a couple shout-outs for the uni thing? I'm just so fascinated by people's uni stories anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Jack from Kettering, he's tweeted us at Fubar Radio. This is going back to weird things that you've, or crazy things you've seen at school or uni. And Jack says, I went to school with this guy whose computer went completely black in front of him while he was talking on
air.
Just
saw that as well.
And then he just kept talking to try to wait for the computer to reboot. And then the computer didn't reboot. So he just kept on talking until it came back. And then eventually did come back.
And then meanwhile, his tech support was just watching and smiling. Then, they weren't actually doing anything to aid the problem.
Yeah, sorry, I did go off topic a little bit there.
Yeah, but I've got ADHD.
That
is another person's experience.
Jack from Kettering.
Yeah, sorry, Jack.
He went to school with this guy who was obsessed with buses. He had to leave class 5 minutes early before everyone else so he could get on the first bus. And if he didn't get to leave early, he would flip out completely.
That's like OCD. Serious.
No, I think mental illness is really cute, don't you?
That was a cry of help. Yeah. That's the wildest thing that happened.
That's apparently the wildest thing that happened.
Mm. Maybe they went to the same school as Sarah.
Yeah. It's true. Thinking about secondary school, I probably was the wildest person at secondary school. But anyway, there's no time to get into those details as we play one last tune before we say bye-bye to B. Dolan. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, and hope to get to catch the show in London tomorrow and have a fantastic gig this evening in Cardiff,
yeah. See you tomorrow. Excellent way, old man.
Okay, see you, but thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to catch up with you soon. Keep the good music coming.
All right, peace out.
Peace. Thanks, Ledge. Say what's up to the broke nigga at the rich party. Who the fuck?
That's right. You're tuned into Fubar Radio with myself and Hugh. We've lost yet another presenter. They're abandoning us.
But it looks like him and Doc are off somewhere else having a little laugh behind our backs.
I know. Usual story.
Yeah.
Usual story. Oh! Oh, I had to check not to get too excited if it was just Adam. Well, not that there's anything wrong with you, Adam, you know, but seeing as you are the co-presenter, you should kind of be here. And he's back! And I thought this story would be of particular interest to you, Michael, seeing as I don't know if either of you heard that Snoop Dogg, he's just opened a marijuana lifestyle website to help fans come out of the cannabis closet.
Wow. It's definitely of interest, but of a no surprise.
You know what? I think he might actually be onto a winner with it. He says the website is called Mary Jane.
Wow, I like what he's done. I haven't heard that.
Very clever.
Wow.
Anyone would think he's a lyricist or something. No, but it's Mary Jane. M-E-R-R-Y.
Yeah,
no,
of course, yeah.
Very clever.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very witty from... quite a lyricist is our Snoop. He's been known to drop some gems, and now this is no different.
Yes, Mary. And apparently this website is going to contain editorial and video content, which will range from a cooking show to business and political discussions, as well as celebrity interviews, which according to Snoop Dogg could include Seth Rogen and Miley Cyrus. And yes, it's all focused around weed. Honestly, Miley, I think Cyrus. It is quite a good idea, because more and more people are going to want access to the right information from a credible source.
I reckon the only reason Miley Cyrus is going to be on it, she's just going to permanently have her tongue out, and they're going to use her to just like moisten rolling papers before they roll. She's literally just going to—they're just going to keep her tongue moist all the time, and it's just going to hang out on this show.
That would really work.
I think it really would.
That really work.
She was like a little mascot for the. And do you know what's also interesting?
Well,
so Snoop isn't the only sort of person involved in this venture, is he? He's his partner is a guy called Ted. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Chung. Now, I would think maybe Chung or maybe Chung. And Chung was a slang word for weed in London in
really?
The 90s. Yeah, a bit of Chung.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, I haven't heard that word for a while.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a while.
Ted Chung.
Yeah, so it's all quite fitting. And Snoop Dogg, he's openly says there are so many people in the closet and we're giving them the opportunity to come out of the cannabis closet.
They're trying to hotbox it, mate.
Yeah.
It's the only reason they're in that closet.
Yeah, exactly. See, there are benefits to being in the closet. There are benefits. You ain't got any weed yourself, just go in the closet anyway.
No one even knows you're in there. It's cool. Yeah. You've got a whole supply to yourself.
And they just need to admit they smoke. I'm a smoker. My name is Snoop Dogg and I'm a stoner.
Well, the thing is, it's usually quite obvious when people smoke weed. I don't think anyone really needs...
Did you hear the show last week? Anyway, let's keep it swiftly moving along. Not discrediting any of our guests last week. No. Yeah.
Well, I'll really admit that I was stoned before today's show.
You brought in Pop-Tarts, mate. We just assumed that straight away.
I'm just looking.
You're like,
I still haven't gone back into the bag.
It's good, this whole Snoop Dogg thing, though. Everybody's so excited about it. Like this young guy, a 20-year-old from the UK yesterday, who he was so excited about Snoop Dogg's new venture that he tried to bring in 12 kilos of weed from Barcelona, completely unconcealed, in a suitcase. Have a look at that photo. Can you see that photo?
Dude was, is this a British dude?
A British guy, 20-year-old British guy, got caught bringing in 12 kilos in a suitcase. Had his carry-on luggage, was all of his spare clothes in a plastic bag, and a toothbrush, and then the only thing that was in his suitcase was 12 kilos of pot that he brought over from Barcelona.
Because he's probably thinking, yo, but it's like a third of the price in Barcelona for an eighth, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, let's do this. So it's like, seriously, man, you're spending the rest of your life
best
in jail.
No, best place to hide is in plain sight, he's probably thinking as well. He's thinking, do you know what, if this is so obvious, they won't even think I'd actually even do this.
But you see him in court going like, but Snoop said, but...
It was on one of the tutorials.
But
actually, the government are talking at the moment about laxing cannabis laws in the UK.
Just legalise the damn thing.
I know, but don't worry. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because it's just going to get to a point where people...
You've got a flight in the very near future to Barcelona.
Yeah.
So they need to legalise it in the next 17 hours. Yeah.
It'd be all right.
That's like taking Coles to Newcastle. You'll find plenty of goodness down there. I think he's pretty ahead of the game, really, because it's only a matter of time before this becomes like a massive corporate thing. Like, there's going to be the green arches. It's not going to be golden arches anymore. It's going to be the green arches.
Well, even on me and Michael obviously do a show on Fridays here at Fubar 1-4. And last week or the week before, we had a lady on who started a marijuana smokers, or however you decide to take it, dating website.
Yeah, it was like basically Tinder.
Just for people,
Weedheads.
For weedheads.
Grindr, but there's already a Grindr, which is completely different, like, you know.
Oh, damn, they got the name before her.
Yeah.
Damn.
She should have called it Grindr.
Sorry, what's this lady's website called?
It was...
You can't remember because you smoked too much that day.
I can't remember her name.
Michael, I would have expected you're on the website.
I'm not, you know. I have no trouble finding love.
Via
weed. You know.
need her weed channels to get a shag.
Actually, I do this.
You've just been frantically trying to find this online, Google searching. Oh, poor lady, I feel bad for her. All this hard work she's put in, you guys can't even remember the woman's name or her website.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's ancient history.
It wasn't even 2 weeks ago. Actually, no, it was. It must have been.
You can't even remember.
I bought a half ounce that day and it's nearly done. So it was definitely about 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, That's how he counts time. He doesn't have a watch. Can't look up at the sun. Doesn't mean shit.
Calendars.
Hang on, what's the last time I scored?
I've got left.
Okay, that means about 3 hours has passed. Oh dear, it's too real. It's getting too real. So I think big up to Snoop for getting in there early with his business ideas.
Oh.
You know, and say, I thought it's only correct that we, you know, this is what that sound is, one long blast on the bong. Yeah. And then hold it in. hold it in. And breathe out. And in. I'm sorry, Daddy. Yes, you're tuning into Food Bar Radio. Coming up very soon, we're going to be asking you guys, are you taking the piss?
When the pimp's in the crib, ma, drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
It's a bit of a modern day classic, that, isn't it?
It is. When the pigs try to get at you, fuck it like it's pork.
Fuck it like it's pork. Fuck it like it's pork.
The Killer Cameron version.
I'll keep going, Michael. I was enjoying that. Keep it going.
Michael was getting into the zone there, man.
I am, man.
He had his finger on his ear and honestly, the other hand in the air and everything. He's in the zone.
Can I get a witness?
Yeah. I'm going to record you doing instead of like whale sounds.
Yeah, that's so calming. Yeah. It's like some could have been on the Last of the Mohicans soundtrack.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I mean, there's still time in the, later in the show. We can get back into some of that. You're tuned into FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah Hugh, and Michael too. And it's almost time for possibly many people's favourite part of the show.
Are you taking a piss?
But
definitely mine.
I think we need to kick this off because I did see this story and I was like, no one really wants to hear me talk about anything too real. So, but then Adam came storming into the studio and he was like, I have an important message to send out that I think was completely taking the piss. Welcome, Adam, to
hello.
The show.
Well, for starters, producer Adam, of course.
Yeah, let's introduce him.
And does Thursday spoiler alert show here on FUBAR as well. Adam Johnson.
Hello. Hey, Adam. You're right.
So you're familiar with Are You Taking the Piss, of course. And yeah, you saw the same story that popped up to me.
The arsehole, I can never pronounce his surname. Martin Shkreli.
Shkreli.
Who has bought the production rights of HIV medication and AIDS medication and then ramped up the price I'm not even joking. 5,000%.
Did you say it was something like it was $13 or something? Now it's $750.
So it was already bloody expensive.
Fucking
and now
hell,
it's
man.
Fucking expensive.
And this is a terrible. Hedge fund investor from New York, this dude, Martin Shkreli.
Shkreli's got a lot of
remorseless and he's kind of trying to be online like, yeah, and what, bitches? That's how I roll kind of thing. But it's outrageous because it's literally like a life-saving drug used for people who have HIV and weakened immune systems. And this dude's just like, right, let's see how much money I can make out of this. The pharmaceutical industry is like the highest profiting industry in the world. Can you believe that? Mm. Even more than like the arms industry and all that. Because you've got these sickos like this capitalising on people's lives, man.
It's crazy. Yeah. Are they taking the piss?
That's just deeper than it. This is deeper than taking the piss. There's got to be a new segment of the show for this.
Yeah, a new segment of the show called Who Needs a Beatdown?
Full good old fashioned one as well. Yeah. You know the ones.
A good old fashioned
kick. Not proverbial. Not none of that like euphemism.
Nothing good, poetic about
it. Nah, beatdown. Proper punches, kicks, face, jaw. All that.
We don't condone violence or anything.
Violence is never a last resort when these types of people are walking this earth.
Oh, what? It's the first resort.
I think it should always be the first resort.
Seriously,
personally.
Like, dude.
But the thing is, though, right? Yeah. I saw on his Twitter that he was obviously loads of people like CNN and Fox News and all these people have been trying to get in contact with him to go, seriously, what the fuck? Mm. And he's just put one tweet out going, regarding all media, I am not doing any more interviews. I have all I needed to say. That is just like a massive middle finger.
How can you legally do this, though?
I'm not
so
talking
crazy.
To you bitches anymore. I'm like, no.
How can it be legal?
It sounds like something a supervillain would do in a superhero film.
And this is why we all just have to keep our fingers crossed that JC comes through in the 2020 elections. JC being the most important JC Corbyn.
Of course, since Jesus Christ.
Because I know him and his people are quite anti the capitalist agendas, which obviously that's how situations like this happen. Well, if laws were changed about how you're allowed to license like drugs and things and like
that. But does he not own the worldwide production and distribution rights, or is it, do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but the way
cool,
things
like the UK will be able to maybe be able to do something about it, but what about everywhere else where they can't even afford this medication as it is
through legislation? That's the only way these things
Donald
happen.
Trump's like absolutely drooling going,
he's having a Cameron moment isn't he over that, isn't he? But yeah, no, so dude, let's out this guy fully. He is Martin, where's the man's name again? Martin, spelt normally, Shkreli, Shkreli. So join the
I was really close to trolling him. And I just thought, you know what? I'm bigger than him. He's just got me. And I just read that story this morning and I was just like, oh my god, I've never felt that way about anything. Is he taking the piss?
Fully.
Are you taking the piss?
And he looks really happy with himself as well from the pictures I've seen of him online, where he's just like, it's just pure remorseless.
Arsehole.
It's just that's the man. So if you see him, Michael, around the ends
with a man then,
call me.
Proper beatdown.
Call
time.
Me.
Proper beatdown.
I'll get Jeremy Corbyn's come
90s
through.
90s rap video type beatdown. You know that perspective you get in it. Timberlands, everything. I don't even own a pair of Timbs. I'm going to buy a pair.
Just in case you bump into
100%.
Him.
Spend £180 tomorrow just in case I bump into Shkreli.
Because if you see him beforehand, you're going to be fuck. Just stand there for like 10 to 15 minutes. 10 to 15 minutes. I'll be back.
Just get online quickly.
Half an hour later, sorry, bro, there's a line out the door.
Stay there, I want to buy some pills off you, mate. Just stay there. I need to go and get the money. Yeah. Come back with some Tims. Pow!
Push!
Exactly. So, yes, I think, he definitely is up there with David Cameron, both of them.
Are you taking the piss?
Big time. But, yeah, this tune, I think, keeps in the same vein as these Ham Wrongen types out there. But this was one of Michael's requests today.
This was.
Yeah, so this is especially for you, Michael. Hard. Before we get into Are You Taking the Piss, right up after this. Go. Niggas feel they self. And then watch the
phone drop. Yeah. I'm about to go cam. Run, motherfucker, let these piggies know who I am. I'm about to go cam. Run, motherfucker, let these piggies know who I am. Yeah, Cam-ron.
The Ham-ron remix.
I bang a ham, God. My name is Cam-ron.
Oh, sorry. I am a professional, honestly.
You.
I'm just...
Hello.
Why, mate?
Hello. I'm Adam Johnson. Hello.
Is that a new get next week? Hopefully we'll hear more from your friend Adam Johnson. But yes, it's the Foobar Radio, and you're tuned in to myself, Sarah, you and Michael too, and it is time for...
Are You Taking the Piss?
That's right, the part of the show where we ask you guys what this week has made you say...
Are You Taking the Piss?
Because there's plenty that happens in, like, the British... living experience, isn't it? That
there's
we're just
tons.
Like, what the hell? I mean, our whole No They Didn't section earlier today about Mr. Hamrong was just that kind of was the icing on the cake of Are You Taking the Piss, really? Mm-hmm. But you know what really impressed me by that story? I seeing the news last night, how the phrasing they used to report the story to avoid basically saying Cameron was putting his dick in a dead pig's mouth. It was like, I'm so impressed with their creative scriptwriting.
Where they can tiptoe around the actual subject.
Yeah, and not really, like, expose him for the animal that he actually is. So yeah, for me, that was kind of...
Are You Taking the Piss?
That was a combination.
That was the voice
creative.
Of Notorious Pig.
Yeah,
Notorious P.I.G.
Pig up,
it's a dick up. And I'm fucking piggies quick if they hiccup.
Yes.
Would you provide that remix next week?
I think I should.
And the ham remix.
Definitely.
Please. I'll be playing that for weeks. But yes, and we do have our special guest in the studio as well, as always, to read out your messages. So there's time to still hit us up at shd@foodbarradio.com, or you can tweet us at twitter.com/foodbarradio. So just come and take your position and take upon the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to read it in your Are You Taking the Piss voice, aren't I?
Well, that's not the that's just your normal voice,
that is actually my normal
right?
Voice.
Because you're a friend of Michael Payne's, right?
Yeah,
that's how it works. So, what's your name, by the way?
My name is I am actually
Trev.
Trev, yeah.
Really?
How
did you come up with that?
Come up with that lovely lass to my left on me.
Yeah, no shit,
Trev smokes quite a lot of weed, so sometimes he forgets his own name.
He does.
So just has to help him there.
Yeah. Can we segue from this awkward moment straight into an email?
Yeah,
is that all right? All right, sweet. I have a date tonight. This is from Ariet in Barnsley.
Ariet.
You know, not Ari. Ariet.
Okay,
I'm saying it right, and I'm pronouncing everything.
Ariet.
I have a date tonight, and two massive spots have just set up camp on my face. Nah, cool. Are you taking the piss?
That's bad.
Are you taking the piss?
That is cold blooded.
Are you taking the vitamin? What is it? D. what vitamin is it today? Wait,
that's not another David Cameron reference, isn't it?
No, it's not, mate. It's a Fresh Prince kind of reference, actually.
Taking the D. You need some more D up in your life.
Now, can I say to Harriet that I don't often advertise non-hip-hop related things to this show, but go down to Lush. They do this amazing thing called Mask of Magnanimity. It'll take that spot away. But yeah, that's a nightmare when you're just like cyclopsing it out on a really important day.
Two. I know.
It always happens to me when I'm doing like a photo shoot or something. It's like, something damn! Like
that. Or you have a terrible night's sleep one, and you have fucking horrible bags under your eyes or something like that. Or
just don't cover them up and say they're cheekbones if they're on your... on either side of
your face. Exactly. Actually, my friend did that technique recently where she was like, okay, this spot has gone way too far. I'm not going to mention her name. I bet she's probably listening. But she's like, this, I can't do anything to like get rid of this. So embrace she just had it. To create a massive mole.
Yeah. So it was like, we were out all weekend. Hope it doesn't rain.
It took me about 36 hours where I was like, hold on, I swear I never noticed that beep, had a mole before. Yeah. So it completely fooled me, and I've known girl for like years and years. So that's my other advice to you, Harry. Yeah. But that is fully taking the piss.
Here's a handy tip. Just
make a molehill out of a mountain.
Here's a handy tip. Get a red pen, put a few more things over your face, and then the friend that you're going out with can do a fucking dot to dot.
Yeah. Or just rub feces all over yourself, because that will just
divert anyone's attention
from your do you know what I mean? It's like, what is that shitty smell?
Seriously, create a distraction. 100%
create a distraction. The only viable one is to rub feces all over
on yourself. That's
honestly
gonna,
so let us know how you get on with that, Harry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Rain. No, this one's nice and short and sweet. I think the term is Kurt. Got a mate called Kurt.
Kurt.
Yeah. Rain is taking the piss from Nat in Kensington.
Rain is taking the piss.
Are you taking the piss?
You know what?
She's not even asking.
You know what? She ain't even asking. She's telling. She's just giving plain statements. You know what I love in Sweden, though? I'm sure I've said this on the show before, but they have a saying in Sweden where they say, there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. See the difference in the Swedish outlook on life and it's the British outlook on life.
And also, when you said, "Do you know what I love in Sweden?" I thought you were going to say Swedish people. You racist.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was kind of racist.
No, that is a smart saying though for Swedish people. That is true.
I love Swedish.
Taking responsibility.
So much that it's almost racist.
The Germans have a very similar one as well, because when they situations like that, they go, "Ein Schleimen des Pucken der Hagenu."
Oh, really?
And that means a very similar thing.
Indeed.
Which is nothing at all.
Hey, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon.
I'm only joking.
My parents are German. No. No, they're not.
But no, I definitely have a lot of love for Swedish people, so yeah.
So, Oliver in London has come through with an intentional pun. Alright.
Oh, yeah.
When my cat follows me into the bathroom and claws at my legs when I'm doing a number two, is he taking the piss?
Ooh. Are you taking the piss?
That. Very good.
I like that. Yeah. I really like that. No, I like the unintentional.
I have to say, my cat is taking the piss, because my cat likes to get in the bath after I've been in the shower.
That's a strange cat. Cats don't usually like water.
Yeah, and then he runs around in the bath in circles. I think it's like an empty bath. Sorry,
like a mini ice skating rink.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
Like, he starts going crazy because he's chasing his tail or something, and then it just creates like a massive mess, which I have to clean up, and it's just really nice.
Are you taking the piss?
It's just gone beyond it being amusing now.
Got the cat at our house. It just follow. It just constantly walks around, going meow meow meow,
like
really horrible
you.
Pleading thing. And I put it outside, and my flatmate said, can you not do that? This cannot lock it outside. There's a fox outside. I said, yeah, I know.
Why do you think I'm not going to outside?
I know.
Fair enough.
Oh, here we go. This one we can't do in a Cockney voice.
Can we not?
The friend of Michael Payne.
This one here.
I think I'll do this one.
Because
it's from dear friend Larry in Catford, who often tweets through every show, are you taking the piss? Now, Larry from Catford says, why it rain? Me want fun, son. Me miss Doc much. Maybe that why it rained. Larry and Catford. I love Larry and Catford.
Oh, Larry and Catford. We need to get him and Doc
together. Larry and Catford. Larry and
Catford. Special romantic moment.
I was watching Men in Black 2 the other day.
Yeah?
Genuinely was. And at the end, like, there's the... I can't remember the name of the actress that plays her.
Will Smith.
No, it's the object of his affection. But see, I can't spoil it. But basically,
did that film come out like 20 years ago?
That's a good point. No, I hadn't seen it. I saw it for the first time 2 days
I've
ago.
Seen it.
I've seen Men in Black 3, and I
won't
seen
be watching
Men in Black
it, so
yet.
You can tell me.
Yeah.
You've seen 3 and 1?
Yeah.
But I didn't even know there was a 3. Jesus Christ, they're milking that shit.
Yeah, big
are
time.
You taking
There's
the
Men
there
in Black 3. Are you taking
Men in Black? No, that's Bad Boys, isn't it? Michael Bay. Who directs Men in Black?
No idea.
I bet Adam knows.
Some piece of shit. I was telling a friend recently that I went and saw the Amy Winehouse documentary.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Oh, what happens in the end?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't want to spoil it."
Really?
Right? And they were like, "Thanks, I appreciate that." I was like,
"People get mad when not telling them what happened at the end straight out of Compton."
She died. Yeah. That's pretty much how it ends. What do you mean? I fucking get it.
No, but I heard the ending of Hit Straight Out of Compton was a little bit Hollywood, though.
Yeah,
that's what you gonna make.
Like, it wasn't.
No, is it? I'm gonna make my own label. What you gonna call it? Aftermath.
Yeah, and then he shoot.
Michael Bay directed it as well, so the camera spun around Dre's head.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. While he stood still and just stared into the distance.
Yeah,
and then some three fighter jets came over his head
as he's walking off over a bridge. It was amazing. Sunset with two AKs in either hand.
Yeah, like basically
real talk.
That's what happened. Explosion in the background, and then Shug was just all shook.
Yeah, Shug cries, and Ice Cube.
And Andrew Shug crying.
Yeah, getting caught in an explosion.
And fucking Ice Cube flies away.
On the jetpack.
Not even. He just flies.
Then they might as well have just.
And that's what happened. And that's the story of NWA.
They might as well have just.
If Michael Bay directed Straight Outta Compton.
So dope.
Don't look, you put that out into the universe.
No,
now.
I'm going to need to do the sequel.
Is gonna answer you.
He needs to do a remake. Like,
you know that's going to happen.
Michael Bay, please direct a rap biopic.
You know that's
I'm
going
to put this out as the universe. I'm saying it now. Michael Bay, direct a rap biopic.
No, he should direct the Snoop Dogg biopic.
Yeah, real.
Because all of that will run in the Snoop Dogg biopic.
It would be so amazing.
Can I just very quickly say for the Are You Taking the Piss? Something else I saw in the news last night. Cab drivers near Heathrow Airport who were leaving bottles of urine and bags of bags of feces on the roadside outside people's houses because they haven't got anywhere to go toilet.
Oh, that's bad.
Wow. Are you taking the piss?
Literally leaving the piss.
Are you taking the piss?
Yeah.
I've got one worse than that.
I've got one. I don't want to name any names, but somebody here at FUBAR made me a cup of tea and put sugar in it.
See, that wasn't
you
me.
Put sugar in my... I've been here for 9 months, Laura! 9 months, Laura! I've worked here and you're putting sugar in my tea! He's taking the piss.
Laura, I'll keep the door locked.
He's taking the piss,
so
Laura.
You leave.
Yeah, contain him.
When you're on the train and then I'll unlock the door. Okay? I'm worried.
Sorry,
now
sugar
for
rush.
Your safety. That's why just remember never put sugar in his tea again.
I love you, Laura.
Shall I read out a couple more?
Yes. I love you, Laura.
This one looks interesting.
You can pick the DVD to that, Laura.
In fact, I'm going to read out one more after this. It's kind of directed at you. Specifically you, actually. So, from Tina in Brighton.
I'm terrified.
The guy I really fancy at work is just got engaged. Gade, missed my chance. This is taking the piss.
Are you taking the piss?
Listen, I know many, many ladies who are having these kind of feelings and they constantly talk to me about fit guy at work, but ain't going nowhere. Aww. But what did you do to try and progress the situation?
What was the lady's name? Tina.
Tina, what did you do? Okay, quick, 45 seconds. What's the next one? I'm sorry, Tina, about that.
This one goes out to you, Sarah. So from Mia in Reading. Or Maya, MIA. Maybe she's actually just missing in action. Yeah. I'm not sure. Could be a soldier. Don't want to. Anyway.
Yeah.
Michael Payne has some awesome Pop-Tarts. In brackets, parentheses if you're American. Not a euphemism. And you don't. Are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss?
Pop-Tarts.
Am I taking the piss about the Pop-Tarts?
Are you taking the piss about my Pop-Tarts?
You're taking the piss by even bringing Pop-Tarts near me, Michael. I'm disappointed. I thought there was hope. I thought we had a chance here, man.
I left them in the bag. This is too big to overcome. Sarah pulled them out of the bag.
But thank you so much for tuning into the show this week, people. Thank you so much, Michael, for being here. You know I still love you.
I love you guys.
Everyone say peace, 2 seconds left.
Peace!